This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dolphin Show, we're on the team at 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. And of course, we are now live on iHeartRadio and TuneIn as well. Double dip for our top story today, but we only need one man to do it. It's time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Stephen Goff is the soccer writer for the Washington Post. We've had him on the show before, but my friend Stephen Goff, we have never had you on to discuss the Commander Stadium, an update coming from an unlikely place. Have you ever partnered with Nikki Javala on a story before?
That is a great question. I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, there's a first time for everything. I mean, someone's got to keep Nikki company. 48 left the beat, so that sucker left her out all on her own. You guys did a great job answering one of the key questions that I have really been trying to ask, frankly, everyone who's covering this story and anybody that I know that has information, which is the mayor's office, and to back it all the way up here for the audience, obviously, we are bearing down on the July 15th imposed deadline by the mayor's office and the Commanders where their exclusive terms or the exclusivity in the term sheet that they signed expires. July 15th is that drop dead date. They are claiming, as city council ponders the Commander's stadium deal at RFK, whether or not, or they are claiming that if there's delays past that, that the stadium can't be done in time. 2030 is the season they would like to open. And then they also, obviously before 2030, would like to get a bid in for the 2031 Women's World Cup, which is where Steven enters the equation. And my question has always been, Steven, is that a real deadline or is that a bargaining chip? That is the question you and Nikki sought to answer. What did you find?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's certainly a bargaining chip, and they would like to get things done sooner the better, for the purpose of an NFL season at home and a new stadium in 2030. But, you know, in terms of it threatening the possibility of hosting Women's World Cup games in 2031 and also the Rugby World Cup, also in 2031, that they have to get it done now. That's doesn't seem completely accurate. There's a risk, of course, the longer it goes on, you have to take into consideration environmental delays, construction delays. There's always delays, right? And so the farther you push this, the greater risk there is of losing out on certain dates. There does seem to be some time to work this out politically in the right way and still be able to open for NFL season 2030 and remain in contention for international sporting events.
You noted in the story that FIFA has in the past said, okay, we will grant you this bid and you can win the bid with a stadium that does not exist yet. I mean, on a much larger scale, like the Men's World Cup in Qatar, like they built that literally in the middle of the desert out of nothing. There was no infrastructure there. There was a longer runway on that as well, and that was fraught with issues, but we don't have to go down that path right now. For FIFA's purposes, for the actual pressure of, because obviously like 2030 is before 2031. So from a timeline standpoint, the football season is more important, but FIFA wants to feel confident if they're going to give a bid to a city or a part of a bid to a country that includes a significant piece in a city, that the stadium is going to be ready. So what kind of confidence do they need to be able to give FIFA in terms of a timeline that won't affect the U.S.'s ability to get that 2031 World Cup?
Yeah, no, there's no set date when a stadium has to be up and running for it to host World Cup games, whether it's men or women. You know, again, obviously you want it done sooner the better, and you want to have you need to conduct events there. It's not going to be just finish it up and play your first event in the World Cup. So, yeah, I mean, you want a few months of a runway to show that it's ready to go, and FIFA takes over stadiums for World Cups. You know, if, for example, MetLife Stadium is hosting the 2026 World Cup as well as the championship game, FIFA takes over the stadium, a couple months before the tournament actually starts. It has to be ready for those types of things. The guidelines from FIFA for the Women's World Cup 2031 show that the host country, which is all but certain to be the U.S., has to have eight stadiums in the bid, five of which already exist. And so that's your starting point. And if one of the eight or more than eight, it has to be at least eight, is an incomplete or just conceived stadium in Washington, that's fine, because there's lots of stadiums in this country that are ready to go from day one.
Stephen Goff, reporter for the Washington Post, with us here on the Hoffman Show. So I maybe this is wishful thinking as a DC resident, Stephen, but I would think that we would be in heavy contention to host the final in 2031. Brand new stadium. They obviously, as has much been bantied about, the 2026 World Cup that is coming next year for the men is not coming to D.C. at all because of the current stadium situation. And we know that, like, for instance, Mark Ein has been public, and he was part of the bid committee, to say, like, if we had had a game here, like, we would have also hosted massive fan fests. And, like, there's a huge amount of missing revenue for the city that is involved in that. So, one, is that wishful thinking, or is that, like, a very realistic possibility of the final? And two, as the mayor's office and the commanders make a pitch to city council on the economic viability of the stadium, how real is the economic impact of hosting a Women's World Cup final in 2031 in the United States?
Yeah, no, to host the final or to host the opening game of the tournament, a stadium has to hold at least 65,000. And no coincidence, the new commander's stadium is suggested to be at least 65,000. So they will meet or plan to meet that standard. And then you get into, where do you want to host a final? Now, traditionally, World Cup finals around the world are held in a capital city, but, Washington's not automatic by any means because you have so many major cities and major stadiums in this country. So, for example, Los Angeles has hosted 1994, 1999, and 2003 World Cup finals, men and women. 2026 will be in New York at MetLife Stadium. For 2031, it would, if there's a stadium plan and it's part of the bid, Washington would certainly be in contention to host the final. It's no slam dunk because New York and LA will both have had experience hosting the final. You would certainly think Dallas would try to get in on that too, with the Jerry Jones venue. So yeah, there's a lot of competition. Washington would certainly move high up the list, but there's other games too. I mean, if you don't get the final, you could get a semifinal. You could get the opening game. You could get, you know, a U.S. match in the group stage. There's a lot out there to get, and it's not a championship game or bust by any means.
So with that, there's always a ton of consternation about the economic impact of these types of tournaments.
Right, right.
What realistically is the economic impact to, you know, and I guess, you know, the mayor's office is going to have one number.
Sure.
Some like Andy Zimbalist, who I'm sure you're familiar with his work,
yeah.
When the Economist, like he's going to have a different number.
Yeah.
I'll just ask you, like, from what your research is on these types of things, as someone who has covered many World Cups, men's and women's around the world, like, how real is the economic impact that city council should be considering here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an economist. I don't know. I'm not an expert on these things, but certainly there is an economic impact because of the number of people, the number of officials, the number of sponsors, teams staying here, hotel nights, transportation, food. It's a lot. It depends on how many games you have. Also, the men's tournament and the women's tournament are different. I think a women's World Cup here, most of your fans are going to be domestic. Still means people have to travel and stay in different cities, but there's not as much long-term foreign travel for the women's game as there is in the men's. It's just part of the evolution of the women's game. It's getting bigger, but it's not as big as the men's yet. So you have to weigh that as well. It's hard to put a number on it. It depends on how many games you get too. I mean, if you're hosting six games stretched out over 4 weeks, people are coming and going. And so there is an economic impact, no doubt what that number is. I think you would get a different number. You get 10 different numbers from 10 different people.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
All right, last thing on this topic, Stephen, and then I would also like to ask you about the U.S. men's team's appearance in the Gold Cup final over the weekend. So we'll go two for one here with Stephen Goff of the Washington Post. There have been the occasional rumble about a partnership of some sort between the Washington Spirit and the Commanders on something with the practice facilities and the stadium, because Magic Johnson is the common link in both ownership groups. And we know that Michelle Kang is an aggressive businesswoman, saying that in a complimentary type of way. Have you heard anything as these latest plans have started to unfold of whether the Spirit are looking for a new full-time stadium, a training facility that's not in Loudoun County, where, all due respect to folks in Loudoun County, it's just very far from where they play, that the Spirit have been a part of any of these conversations around the RFK site?
Yeah. Well, let's start with the training facility. Right now, the Spirit leases DC United's training site in Leesburg. It's, you know, the location is one thing, but the bigger issue is just to have your own space. And I think at some point, Michelle Kang will build her own training facility. It's kind of ridiculous right now. DC United's place, they have, it's DC United, it's the Washington Spirit, and it's DC Power FC, a new women's team, which DC United has a part ownership. They're all crammed into one little building. It's kind of silly. So I think ultimately the Spirit will find a place of their own, but you know, you gotta find the right place, and you gotta commit the money to it and, you know, start that project up. So yeah, I think that'll happen at some point. I mean, the Kang and the Commanders have had a decent relationship over the last few years. I remember seeing Jason Wright, at Spirit Games and in Michelle Kang's suite. So there always has been a communication there. The Spirit leases or rents out Audi Field for their home games. DC United owns the stadium. You know, there have been some rumblings about the Spirit not being perfectly happy with the situation there, and the DC United has you know, put up a hard bargain for the contract. You know, Michelle Kang is also a very ambitious owner, and I think there's part of her that looks at Audi Field and says, hey, it's 20,000 seats. We can do better than that. And so the Commanders Stadium, yeah, are they going to sell 65,000 seats for Washington Spirit games? No, they're not. But more than 20,000 is certainly possible as the league and the team grows. So that probably works into her equation. And it certainly gives them a little bit of leverage, maybe, with DC United saying, hey, you know what, we're going to go into partnership with the Commanders and we're not going to be in partnership with you. So we'll see where it goes. But, you know, I think it certainly opens up some opportunities for the Spirit. And if not for, you know, all their home matches, maybe, you know, occasional games or international matches at a bigger location with more ticket selling possibilities.
As a season ticket holder for the Spirit, the idea of going to a domed stadium where there's air conditioning in August, let's say, that sounds great to me. I'm sure, knowing what the press box is like at Audi Field, I'm sure that sounds great to you too for any Spirit games that you want to cover. It's quite toasty in there. Stephen Goff with us, of course, a great soccer reporter working for the Washington Post here on the Hoffman Show. All right, to your typical day job, not the, hey, let's go write a story with Nikki about the Commanders' new stadium and the soccer impacts of it part of your job. The U.S. men had about as poor of a build-up period on and off the field as you could think of having going into the Gold Cup. Everything seemed to be going wrong. There was bickering within the Federation. There's bickering between Christian Pulisic, his parents, and former players. Like, it felt like a nightmare, Stephen. And then they made the final. How much damage, like how much, I guess, reputational damage was repaired around the U.S. men's national team a year out from the World Cup? And then also internally, like, did the dynamics change at all as people were like, oh, okay, we won some games here, found a little confidence? Was there any real steps taken, or was it beating a weaker field with some mediocre performances, losing in the final, and everything is actually more so where it was before the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, if the U.S. were at full strength or close to full strength, they would be either the favorite or the second favorite in the Gold Cup. That's been the tradition. they were not at full strength. They weren't even close to full strength. The thought was, they might get to the final. More likely, they'll lose in the semifinals to Canada, who's been on an upswing the last few years. But then Canada got upset in the quarters, and that cleared the pathway a little bit for the U.S. They got through to the final. The best team won the Gold Cup, and that was Mexico. The U.S. gave a decent performance, but the talent level was not high enough to win the Gold Cup. Overall, they did okay. I think they outperformed what we thought how they would perform. I think they showed some good qualities. Most of all, I think in the big picture, they played with heart. They showed that they cared, and that had been an issue over the months, or even over the past year with this team, and certainly with some of the bigger names, that the body language wasn't good. They didn't come to each other's defense in tight situations. It just didn't look good. And in this tournament, they fought for each other. They played hard. There was, you can't compensate fully for a void in talent. And in the end, that showed itself because Mexico was the best team. But I think the fundamentals in this team are much better now than they were a few months ago. There are guys who are really committed, really wanted to prove themselves. And Pochettino sent a message, and I think a clear message, by leaving some of these big names behind, by showing who's in charge, and letting these younger players, for the most part, show what they can do. Some showed well, some didn't. But at least they got the chance. They played hard. And I think as Americans, you want to see a team that gives its all. And in the past, it didn't seem like this team was. This tournament, they did. And I think that's a good step.
So moving towards 2026, what does that mean for the construction of the team when you're selecting from the full complement of talent, but do not want to lose that heart, dedication, and togetherness that drove them to the final of this tournament?
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating when they come together again in September for a couple games, a couple friendlies against South Korea and Japan. Who does Pochettino call in? I think he's going to analyze this Gold Cup and say, look, we didn't play the highest quality opponents in the tournament. We take that into account. These guys didn't perform well. They're just not good enough. We appreciate the effort they made. We appreciate their availability, but they're just not good enough. There'll be other guys who make the cut, so to speak, and do get called in. I think there'll be a lot of them. And then he has to decide who does he reintegrate from that base of players who did not appear at the Gold Cup for many reasons. Some were injured. Some needed a break. The Pulisic situation wasn't great. Does he invite Christian Pulisic back in September? Or does he, play hardball and say, look, you need to make more of a commitment to this program, and until you do, you're not being invited back. So this is all part of it, and I'll be fascinated to see come Labor Day or so when he announces that, 23, 25-man roster, who is on it. It's going to be an enlightening moment.
For sure, the Pulisic piece, extra fascinating because he is far and away, it seems, the best American player in the pool, and he also, for a long stretch, seemed to be the one carrying the team. And no one else was coming with him. And then now it's like, hey, man, are you going to get on board? And he's like, probably looking around like, wait, I thought I was on board. What does on board mean? So that's going to be a fun one to watch.
And the reality is, they're from this point on, they're going to play much better teams. And this Gold Cup group, they got destroyed by Switzerland in the last tune-up before Gold Cup.
Right.
The team was still coming together. But, you're going to play at the World Cup teams that are, you know, 10 times better than a few of the teams you saw at the Gold Cup. So he's going to need to get his more talented players engaged and committed and, you know, reinserted into the lineup and into the roster.
Stephen Goff, writing about it all. Washington Post. You can check his and Nikki's story out on the stadium stuff as well. WashingtonPost.com/sports. Stephen, always great to chat, my friend. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Stephen Goff with us here on the Hoffman Show. When we get back, more Commanders, very different region of the Commanders world. On-field nerdiness. You ever wondered why teams go out of shotgun more, and especially in the last decade, than they used to, and what advantages there is to shotgun, but also what advantages may have been lost from going under center? For a team in the Commanders that has used both effectively, but is in gun like 90% of the time, seems like a relevant question. And it was asked to us on Take Command. Logan and I answered it. We'll let you hear our answers next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.